Welcome, everybody, to Cup with Gup on this beautiful Tuesday, August 3rd, 2021 edition. Hope you're doing well. We have a lot to talk about. Little PGA, little football. Short pod as usual. Getting good feedback there. Got some comments on notifications going off in the background and audio stuff. So I have hopefully corrected that. That's always welcomed on my end. I do not pretend to be perfect. So anything that I may not be picking up on certainly helps a lot. As I mentioned yesterday, use the code NFL. Get 25% off any package on our site. I recommend the full site package because it includes a 7-day trial. So if you don't like it, maybe you like it and you want to downgrade, whatever. We can make all that happen. If you don't like anything at all and you quit before 7 days, you never get charged once. So it's a free, no risk, 7-day trial. 25% off now through Monday Night Football, September 13th. Anybody that's a new sub or a current sub that upgrades to the full site, you will be tossed into a drawings giveaway the week after week one, after that Monday Night Football. I will start releasing some of the prizes and giveaway. I always do good ones, so you know we'll bring it there. That started Sunday, August 1st. So if you did sign up or upgrade, you are already included. And I will go over some of the prizes starting next week. Listener League is up for the WGC St. Jude. I will include it in this podcast. 500 to first, flat payouts, limited rake, top three, get GC swag as always. YouTube comment winners tomorrow. Any videos, I let you know how you can get into the drawing. Today, let me know your favorite play in the 10K range. I think kind of taking first look at ownership, deep dive. I think there's going to be a lot of ownership spread out in the 9 and 10K. So I want to know who your favorite play is in the 10K range for this week. Rate and review us on iTunes. Subscribe and like this video on YouTube. Those always go a long way to help us. Plus the rate and review on iTunes, I will do giveaways for NFL kickoff week, specifically for everybody that has done a rating and a review on iTunes. If you don't remember, if you have, go ahead and leave another one. It does not hurt you at all. PGA update today. you know, weather, course, all that, nothing's really changed. It's going to be a beautiful week. I think the course is going to play great. Little cooler right now, as I mentioned, but warming up as the week goes on. Still going to be in the 90s, still going to be hot. No rain in the forecast, so nothing to worry about there. First glance at ownership for me, kind of did my V1 a little earlier this morning. Top 10 trending highest, no particular order right now. Morikawa, Webb, Answer, Garcia, Usti, Brooks, Spieth, Berger, English, and Kokrak. Not really any surprises there. Just want you to start wrapping your head around potential high-owned guys, where you may want to make a pivot. There's guys you may like that are up there high-owned that so you got to figure out where do I get different down below. I do think there's going to be several spots where you can leverage high owned versus, you know, some low owned guys to balance out your lineup. I don't think it's a week where you have to avoid all the chalk. I just don't think you can play all of it together. And I think creating stacking rules or make sure your player pool is done properly, which will be more of our concentration tomorrow, especially on E9, is more important this week than most weeks. But that's, I think, where we'll focus on, hey, you like Brooks, play him. Maybe you like Brooks and Spieth. You know, maybe that means we get off of, you know, Morikawa, Berger. I don't think you can play all the chalk this week, but you certainly can eat some of it because there's plenty of spots. There's only 66 guys, so there's plenty of ways to get different. And certainly contest selection matters on that more than ever on a week like this. Some low-owned potential sleeper-type guys. Just first run. Neiman's looking like he's going to be lower owned, which, you know, doesn't surprise me. I think that whole 8K range outside of Answer are all fairly, you know, definitely sub 15, 10% in my early projections, which, you know, I kind of felt that was going to be that anyway. Right now, Shoffley, I think, will be. But, you know, I listened to his presser, and I actually – probably moved him up a hair for a potential play. I think I'm only going to play one out of him and Morikawa. I do think Morikawa will be higher owned. And I get it, but, you know, Xander even mentioned we prepped for this before the Olympics. So, you know, the rest and stuff we did prior to the Olympics was we knew we were going to have to bring it 2 weeks in a row. Whether whether he won or not, he said, I knew I was going to have to play in a, you know, an important WGC for me. He talked about wanting to, you know, be in the Ryder Cup and clinch it himself and not leave it up to the captain's pick. A lot of positive things from him today in his presser that, you know, if people are going to get off him, I think he'll be higher owned than initial projections I talked about yesterday. I could see why people would be off of him. You know, I was on Travis Fulton's show and talked about, you know, for some reason in golf, we tend to fade or want to get off the guy that just won. Whereas in like NFL, the guy that runs for, you know, 22 touches, 160 yards and two touchdowns is like Chalk City the next week. It's not always that way in PGA, although I think it is coming around to where good players are good players and you're just going to have to play them. They can be good for more than just 1 week. We know that very well. Hovland, probably a little lower than I thought, which makes sense at his price range. Like if you're wanting to get up in that big boy range and play three or four of those guys, it's hard to play, you know, JT, and I think JT will be high owned. So then you're really squeezing out the Hovland type. So that makes sense to me. Zalatoris is definitely, I have him bumped down. I think if we don't get a presser from him or any kind of update, I think he will be a place to take leverage because I think he'll be sub 10% with the unknown of the injury. And could he tee it up? And maybe his intentions are to play off for weeks, but if he tweaks the back, I already got the money. I'll save it for the – well, I kind of mentioned this. I wanted to mention this yesterday. The only difference is, like, he's not saving himself for the FedEx because he's not in it unless he wins this week or next week because of the crazy rules. Ironically, if he does win, all of his back points that he's got, you know, he'll be like top 10 or top 20 up there, somewhere in that way range. But, you know, so I don't, if he's here and it doesn't, we don't see anything about it, I'm going to assume he's here to play all 4 days and I'm going to play it as such. Bryson, we knew he was going to be one of the lowest up there. That's just a personal, do you bite the bullet and hope he comes with it? I'm still not on it. This is a week where if I cut a gat out, even let's just say he's 7 to 9%. I know just getting equal with the field of them makes sense, but that's 7 to 9% I could use elsewhere on guys I truly think will do well this week. And I want to get as much over leverage on my key spots as I can. So I'm still not on Bryson yet. Sungjae and Siwoo for that matter, both coming in lower. I kind of felt that would be the case. Same with Matsu. Reed as well. I think we know the reasons for all that there. And they all make sense on the lower own, but those are guys that ceiling-wise are guys we want to keep an eye on for tomorrow. And maybe we pick our chalk guys, and some of these guys right there are the ones that allow us leverage, and you're not losing. Again, we're talking about ceiling-wise on a four-day tournament guaranteed where these guys can go. Monday redo for me. I give you two guys that didn't really talk about, but now that I've, you know, deep dive, got all that out, you know, I probably would have had him somewhere on the Monday pod, Smash Factor. Patrick Cantlay's the first one. He's moved up quite a bit on my deep dive. I don't think he's going to be super chalky popular. I don't really think all these ownerships get, you know, bunched up in a WGC type, you know, these type of events in general. So you're going to be able to pick and choose wherever. There's not going to be just massive chalk. You may have a guy get up closer to 30% because we only have 66 guys, but you know, not as big of a spread as what we can see in 156 man field per se. But I think Cantlay might be around that 13 to 15% ownership, which I'm fine with that. 9,300, I think, is a great price for him. Some of the stuff I looked at in the deep dive, share with the premium members, I like there. The other one's Lefty. Like, he was on my radar when I was prepping for the show yesterday. I just didn't get there. But I don't mind him. You know, he's got great history here. Travis talked about him some. I had marked him once. You know, nothing with him when you look long-term, historically, is going to pop on statistical models. But he was second here last year, and he's $6,600. A guy where you're not worried about a cut, can go low, but then he can outscore. He's another guy that can kind of outscore his position in being that, you know, because he'll get a double, a triple, or something like that. But he'll reel off, you know, five or six birdies. I mean, we've seen tons of rounds with him where it's like six birdies, a double, and two bogeys. So he shoots two under, but scored pretty well. So he's one that's kind of moved up a little bit for me after the deep dive today. staying strong for me that right now. These are guys that I was on yesterday. Nothing's really moved from me. Brooks, although I know he's going to be top two or three owned, I'll have to get some leverage there. Wilco, Nina Bear, I'm still on him. DJ, Burns, and Scheffler. Probably my top five, not moving off yet. Nothing's really changed my mind. I did go look into, I was prepping for Travis' show on his podcast, and I went and dived on Neiman and Hovland because I was kind of curious. Like on paper, I felt these guys, this course would kind of suit them. So I was like, how did they not do well last year? What was going on then? Was I missing something, you know, so on and so forth. Neiman started, so this kind of made sense to me. Let's pull it up. I think he went double. He had a few pars to start his day, on the first round. And then he went bogey, double, birdie, bogey, double. So he's plus five before he even makes the turn. And that may have been one of his first WGCs he qualified for. I'm trying to get this pulled up. You know, and then he comes out like his last. So he shoots 73-73. And then on the weekend, so he settles in, gets to know the course. It's his first time playing the course. Shoots 68-67. Yeah, so he starts out hole four on Thursday last year. Bogey, then a double, then a birdie, then a bogey, then a double. So he's through eight, and he's already, you know, well over par. So, you know, that doesn't makes you feel a little bit better about him, you know, and then he shoots five under on the weekend. If he just shoots even par, you know, he's going to wind up on the first 2 days. Or one or two under, he'll top 15 at last year. So that made me feel a little better. Hovland just found some water last year. Now, I don't know if that changes this year. I don't see him as like a crazy wild driver of the ball. But when you look at his round by round scorecard, he definitely, you know, he started out pretty good, three under, but then Friday and Saturday he shoots plus five and plus two, and it was really just kind of the water ball issues, some penalties, stuff like that. It doesn't mean I'm off either one of them. Hovland, I think they're both going to come in low owned, so that's definitely – it's not the end-all, be-all, but when I see a guy, and really reason why I bring it up is, like, if you see a guy and you're like – not just because you may like him as a player, be like, man, well, I really think he should fit this course – what happened? It's not horrible to go take a look at. Was it, you know, a quad on 18 here or some crazy thing that just seems abnormal that got him off of it? Or did he just play bad for the week? Doesn't mean they're going to play great this week, but those were two guys that kind of stood out to me. Little football update before we wrap it up. I did find the Colts on FanDuel this morning. So here's a free release to you guys. I released all my first round of futures this about lunchtime. So I had six plays I released to the premium members today. I will give you guys one of them for free. Colts over 8.5, minus 120 on FanDuel. I saw some over nines, under nines. This was definitely the best number, in my opinion, that I could find. There may be better. You may wait if you think they're going to roll with Eason. You know, I don't know exactly how we feel about that. I think, like I went through yesterday on the Cup with Gut pod, why I think this could be a good play. And I think getting to, you know, that would put them 9-8 on the season for a win number is doable. I think no matter who their quarterback was, their first 5 weeks were going to be tough no matter what. And so the line that's adjusted so much for Wentz being out, which we don't even have guaranteed Wentz was going to play well, it's kind of an overcorrection of me. So I'm in over 8.5. If you want to see how much I weighted that in the betting and the other six picks, they are up on the site. Go take a look at that. I will say for Foles, man, if you didn't watch his press conference yesterday, if there's ever a time for a guy to say, I would love to go play for another team right now, that it was yesterday with Foles during his Bears post-practice conference, and he was pretty blunt. It was kind of shocking for a minute. You know, he even mentioned, you know, hey, would love to go play there to an extent, or he kind of said, I love playing for him. He's the greatest coach I've ever been around. He set me up in the perfect situation. But for now, I'm a Bear, and I'm going to go wing it with these third stringers. That's kind of what he said. That was, you know, I'm sparsing a little bit there. But very interesting press conference. I don't know if that goes anywhere, but I promise you if he gets signed, that 8.5 number goes up probably at least a half a game, if not 9.5. So a little bit of a chance there. I still like it. We'll see what they wind up doing at quarterback. I mean, Wentz could be back by week two. We don't know. There's a 7-week swing in there, the way they put it out. 5 to 12 weeks seems extreme. I think we'll know a lot more in the next probably 3 to 4 weeks. And that number will adjust accordingly. I don't see it getting much. I don't see it getting to 8 very much. So I think 8.5 is the lowest we're going to get there. And I love that play. Ryan and I did some talking back and forth. Obviously, I released my official plays. He posted some today. I'll give you guys a couple we agree on. I have not released my side, but I agree with him on the Vikings and 49ers over win total on the season. I think there could be some movement there slightly on both of them, so I haven't pulled the trigger. I'm stronger on the Vikings than the 49ers. The only reason being is I would feel much more comfortable about the 49ers over if they went ahead and set in stone not only who was going to be the quarterback, but if it was Trey Lance. Because I think if he gets it, then it, you know, kind of ends that potential locker room issues, not feuding, but it's just uncomfortable when you don't know who the quarterback's going to be in a locker room. Great reports out of Trey Lance. Some of my connections think he starts week one. I'm not the only one there. There's tons of people are just kind of saying that. That's something to kind of watch. And I don't know how the market will react initially. I think it'll probably stay about. I think the market's saying we don't really care who the quarterback is. Here's the over-under because they have probably one of the easiest pound-for-pound schedule, meaning where the games line up, when they are in the season, all that kind of stuff. Probably start 2-0 out the gate no matter who their quarterback is. So I like both of those. One we disagree on bit me last year because he was big on the Bills over. I was big on the Bills under, and I ate that, you know, had a little egg in my face on that, which was fine. I manned up to it. I said, hey, I was way wrong on that. But I'm going back to the well this year. I think the Bills are a little bit of the eye candy. We see this every year where you'll have teams that overperform, teams that underperform, come out of nowhere to win, double up their wins, triple, you know, or maybe not triple. Well, I guess you could. It could go from like 2-6, 2-7, something like that. But and I think while I think the Bills will do well, I think the Patriots are better than what people think. I think they'll do better and they could split with the Bills per se, maybe win it, split home and home type of deal. And that 11 number is just so strong for them to go, you know, 11-5, or I guess it'd be 11-6 in this case, that I would lean under. I'm not disagreeing in that sense. But I don't think I can bet the over because now I'm saying you got to get to 11 pushes, so I get that. But when I'm doing futures, I want to try to win. So, you know, 12-5 is a pretty strong number for Bills. I get it, but I'm not completely sold on them being that type of team this year. You know, not that 11-6 or 10-5 or 10-7 is horrible, but it's a fine line there. He's definitely high on the Bills this year. I don't know if he has them picked to go to the Super Bowl, but he definitely loves them this year. And I don't hate him. That's the one we kind of disagreed on. And he released several in our GC War Room Slack if you want to go take a look at that. If you didn't listen to yesterday's pod, we updated our top 200. Version 2 was released yesterday. I am probably confident we will have a weekly update based on we get to watch some football with our own eyes. Training camp battles, injuries, all that kind of stuff, all the way up until, you know, basically that last week. As we know, you guys are probably starting your home drafts, as well as hopefully the way we're doing it. We kind of just took and Ryan did all the work. I just gave him my picks or my rankings. But so it didn't matter what you're using for, whether it be best ball, whether it be a season long, you might do auction leagues, you might do dynasty leagues. So there's redraft leagues. There's so much there that really, if we just wanted to rank our top 200 by position, that at least you would know where we mutually were and then who was higher on which player. So hopefully you guys like that. Last for me is Dak. I'm not really concerned about it. I get why people would be, and you can have a potential, you know, not that he's injury riddled, but you know, I just feel like they're being a little bit cautious because there's no reason to push anything. I would say if he doesn't play, you know, in the second preseason game or something like that, they also have, you know, they had the very first preseason game. There's really no reason to rush him out there. Listening to him on his press conference didn't seem, you know, all that concerned. And he's maintained that. I'm not really that concerned about it. I'll be fine type of deal. Obviously, you know, Dallas is my team. Unfortunately, I've seen a lot more bad than good, even though I was 8, 9, 10, 11 years old when they were winning the three Super Bowls. So, but I never left them, unfortunately. I keep sticking around hoping we make another run. I do think the team's talented. Defense has to show up, but they added some good pieces. I'm kind of high on them this year. I do think they win the NFC East. But I think they need a healthy Dak, that's no doubt. So I think they know that as well. So there's no reason to rush him out there for a Hall of Fame game versus Steelers. So I'm not too concerned there. Looking forward to the rest of the week. I will be back tomorrow. I hope you have a blessed evening and a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. See you.